Welcome to the Crude Life Podcast, because sometimes when you're making money, life can just be crude. Hey folks, how you doing? My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and talk show host. And on today's episode, we talk with William Prentice, the CEO of the Meridian Energy Group, about the Davis Refinery Project coming to Belfield, North Dakota. In this exclusive interview, we get an update on the permit to construct process, as well as when they're going to start moving some earth on the Davis Refinery out there in Belfield, North Dakota. We also take a look at the past year, how Meridian Energy Group is getting ready for the cleanest refinery on the planet, and how the Department of Health in North Dakota, what it's been like working with them on this clean refinery, making sure that what they're talking about, what they're bragging about, is actually going to be a reality. We also talk about the local communities, what they're talking about in Billings and Stark County, and how this new refinery is going to bring a new tax base to Western North Dakota. All that plus much more on this exclusive interview with the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, William Prentice, on the Davis Refinery, the first refinery in 50 years, the first greenfield refinery in the United States in 50 years, also going to be the cleanest refinery on the planet. Exclusive interview with William Prentice in just a moment. But first, I want to take this moment to thank our sponsors. They literally keep our lights on. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
When I think of the world that I want to live in, it's with people that care, that take risks, that reinvent themselves, reinvent their organizations, reinvent their industries. And Eric's a model citizen for that. He's trying to solve problems. He's trying to bring people into those solutions. He does incredibly well, but he lives generously. I think a community filled with people like Eric that are solving problems, giving it their best, and creating an environment for others to lead and soar and succeed, that's the place I want to live. And so Eric's the type of person that's in my community, and I'm really grateful for that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Hi, this is Bill Prentice, Meridian Energy Group, Inc.
And here we are with the CEO of Meridian Energy Group. Of course, Meridian Energy doing the Davis Refinery Project. And over the, you know, we're doing the weekly updates here. And over the last few weeks, we've talked with some engineering and environmental consultants and a number of different subcontractors, if you will, people working behind the scenes to kind of give you an update. And now we got the CEO from Meridian to give us an update. And I know that, as I said, we've been talking to some people and things are moving nicely behind the scenes. And we just kind of wanted to get you on to talk to the listeners a little bit about what's going on. Let's start from the permit to the construction process, kind of a state of the union, if you will.
Oh, sure. Well, the most important thing on our plate right now in terms of the schedule for getting the project in operation is the permit to construct from the North Dakota Department of Health Air Quality Division. You know, we've been in the process of working through that permit since October of 2016. And, you know, we've worked very closely with the Department of Health. I mean, they've done a lot for us. You know, we've dealt in great detail in what parts of a refinery are problematic. We actually changed the process significantly back in March and submitted a major amendment to our permit application in April as a result. And that change emerged out of the discussions and the analysis that we were doing in kind of the daily back and forth with the health department. That process has continued. You know, we think that we're pretty close to the end of their analysis of the project, and we would expect, you know, pretty quickly here in the next several weeks to see a draft permit come out. You know, we don't have any control over that. The Department of Health has their responsibility to the state and to the people of North Dakota. So they're going to do things the way they need to do it. And we just stand by and make sure they're not sitting there waiting for us to do anything on any given day. Once that permit is issued as a draft for public comment, we're going to have to go through the public comment period. I think that's a 30-day process. During the course of that 30 days, there'll be a public hearing. You know, to the extent that we're requested by the health department to participate, we will help respond to any of those comments. And then it's our understanding that some period of time after that comment period is when the final permit would be granted. You know, it's going to be about the end of the year at the soonest. That puts us obviously in the middle of winter, so we're not going to be running out and starting earthwork immediately. However, we're taking steps to protect the schedule by starting out here in the next week or two with the fabrication of some of the major equipment, including the crew tower and so forth. So that'll be in process as the permit works its way through. We prefer to not do any work at the site until the permit is finalized. And so that puts us, you know, probably as early in the spring as we can get in terms of doing grading to start actual construction of the project this coming year. But as I said earlier, you know, the equipment is going to be well along by that time, so it's just a matter of getting foundations done, and we'll start setting equipment. And, you know, we're still hopeful that we can be in operation towards the end of 2018, early 2019.
2018, 2019, okay, I'm just writing down a couple notes here. And that draft permit now, yeah, I do believe that's actually part of the state constitution. When something happens, they got to go onto a public deal. There was an initiated measure in North Dakota a couple of years ago to where the State Department, Health Department has to go and go through some public comments on there as well. It's just recently in the news, so I do believe that's part of the state constitution. And the other thing was skeptics. Now, I'm not hearing too many skeptics in my world. You know, and I travel across the state quite a bit, but I'm sure there's a couple out there because it is oil and gas and energy, and that seems to just, you know, people blindly go against it and that sort of thing. But what I'm hearing mostly is the jobs, and you talked about the timeline with the grading in the when we can kind of see the 2018 into 2019. But okay, long question here. Where I'm getting at is that draft permit. Now, does that kind of act as the synthetic minor source deal? Is that what I'm hearing? And that is that going to satisfy any skeptics that are out there?
Well, I mean, when we started this a year ago, the intent was to build a different type of refinery. And I've never been surprised that people are upset and concerned about the thought of a refinery, you know, being built right there in that part of North Dakota. But they haven't had a chance to see what we have in mind. We started out with the objective of making this a minor source, not because of any regulatory issue per se, but because when you start with a blank sheet of paper, you know, we're engineers. Why not do it right? And, you know, at the end of the day, pollution is simply bad engineering. And there's been a lot of technology over the last 40 years that has not found its way into your standard refinery that you see, you know, along the Gulf Coast and over in California. We want to make use of that, and it's not going to be the same type of thing that people have ever seen before. So we're not surprised that people are concerned about it. We've always been ready to explain what we're trying to do to people who are interested, but, you know, there are certain people who don't want to engage in that discussion, and we would probably have a hard time changing their mind anyway. But one of the things that this permit process does for us is we have been able to obviously make changes that make it even better than what we started out with a year ago. And then the public comment period gives us an opportunity to educate everybody about what we're doing. I'm looking forward to this, really. We've had to be very quiet about it while the department's gone through the process of review, and we've kept quiet about it. And now we get a chance to talk about what this is going to look like, and we're pretty eager to get that started. But you mentioned opponents. You know, we're pretty close to the Teddy Roosevelt National Park, and there are people who are understandably concerned. I think we've done a good job. Even during the period when we were getting our county conditional use permit, I think we demonstrated pretty conclusively that you cannot see it from the park. And we know you will not be able to hear it or smell it. And we've done a lot in the meantime to further our plans for agricultural and natural buffer around the refinery. The air quality issue is something that's very important to people that enjoy the park. We take it very seriously, and the requirements are very stringent for being a minor source in that close proximity to the national park. And we are comfortable that our engineering has made it possible to meet and actually exceed by a very wide margin those requirements. The law is very clear. I mean, this is a engineering permit per se. The numbers for qualifying as a synthetic minor source are very definitive. Everybody knows what you have to do to meet those requirements, and that's what we have engineered to. And I think we're going to be able to show people something very different than what they might have expected for a refinery.
You know, as I mentioned, I haven't heard too much against it, but I'm usually busy taking my kids, my kid taekwondo and football games and all kinds of different things. I don't get to too many political events and that sort of thing. But I did want to mention that Dan Hetherington was on this program talking about a public event that you guys did. And he's also, I believe, an engineer working on the project or something along those lines. And I got to tell you, just 2 weeks ago, I was at an oil and gas event, and I was talking to a couple engineers from, I believe it was Bartlett and West and KLJ, I think. And they loved hearing these weekly updates because, we talk to the engineers, and they're interested to see how this is being done. I'm hearing this from engineers and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I'd like to just give you a second. Talk about some of the stuff that you and your partners have been doing up till now. I mean, it's been going, I think you said a year, I wrote down, about a year ago you guys filed for this. You guys are working your tails off on this. The white-collar folks, man. Talk a little bit about that.
You would tend to think that a company in our business would be a great place to work if you were a lawyer, but we've managed to avoid too much of that. It's a great place to work if you're an engineer. Dan Hetherington is a partner at SEH, which is a firm that we have engaged as civil, structural, and permitting consultants. They actually work up there all the time on other projects and very well acquainted with the local area. We also have three engineering firms in Houston working on the design. And, you know, it was during that period right after the first of the year, January, February, where we started to take a really hard look at what had changed in the industry over the last 40 years and made major changes in the process. I mean, we're going to have something called a continuous catalytic reformer instead of a standard reformer arrangement within the project as we go forward. We abandoned the concept of a fluid catalytic cracker in favor of a hydrocracker for this refinery. It's much cleaner. The heat demand is much less, and that means the pollution is a lot less. Also, the footprint for the refinery has been reduced as a result of all this. So it's a much smaller plant. One of the things everybody notices about refineries and tends to complain about is the flare stack, which is a way of getting rid of gases that there's no other way to handle in a refinery. In this refinery, there's new technology where that's taken care of at ground level with a device that's very similar to the catalytic converter in your car. We still have a flare stack for emergency situations, but you'll probably only see that thing working about 5 hours a year. The people that have put their heart and soul into this design have done a tremendous job, and they're all very proud of it. It's kind of strange to be around a bunch of engineers that are very proud of both their kids and their new refinery, but sort of the same, you know. You talk about taking your kid to Taekwondo. People who do that down in Houston that are working on the engineering or up in Bismarck working on the permitting side of this show pictures of the latest plot plan to people who will listen to them. You know, it's probably pretty boring, but it's the way we feel about this plant. And, it's going to be a game changer for the industry. And North Dakota is where it's going to happen. Again, it's something everybody's really proud of. And the permitting just kind of gives you an opportunity to show everybody and prove what you have done and what it can do. And going through the public comment period, we look at that as a way to kind of show off what we've done. That's a long answer for a longer question, and I forgot if I got to the heart of your question in that answer.
No, you did. We were just talking about some of the partners and some of the work that you guys have been, putting into it. Letting people know about the hard work that's being done. And I wanted to transition into the reason I asked about the work is because now it's kind of up to the Department of Health and what they are. And you've been going on this for about a year now, and over on some other sides, the Department of Health is under fire for some timelines on some other issues in the state, that sort of thing. And I know we've been been talking a little bit about how you wish that the timelines were a little bit sooner than they are now, but you've been understanding. How has it been with the Department of Health over the past year?
Well, the world has changed over the past year. The previous refinery that received a permit in North Dakota was the Dickinson Dakota Prairie, and they were a minor source, I believe, and they obtained their permit in a very short period of time compared to what we've had to do. But in the intervening months and years, you've had the DAPL situation. You've had a change in administration. Federally, a lot of new faces around the federal agencies that get to have some input on this. We cannot argue that there should be a set timeline for a permit like this. The state has their responsibility. Their responsibility is not to us. I mean, generally speaking, I think that they're required to consider the interests of the state, and there are considerations in favor of us from that regard in terms of jobs and tax base and everything like that. And so, of course, they're going to be in favor of doing something if there's no harm and we meet all the regulations. But we have to prove that we're going to do that. And, the previous refinery was a fairly standard configuration for a topping unit. What we're proposing is dramatically different. And there was a lot of skepticism to begin with that you could achieve synthetic minor source status with a refinery that big. And so it's taken us a year to run through it. And, quite frankly, and again, I'm not complaining because the state's doing their job, but we've probably put four times as many engineering man hours into this project to date as you would typically do for a project like this, just getting through the permit stage. I think it's our obligation to do that if we're proposing something this new. And so we've done the work, and I think we've proven that we're gonna be able to do this refinery and achieve those emissions levels. So yeah, we're never happy with the schedule. That's just the way it is, but it's not the state's job to make us happy on the schedule. It's it's their job to protect the public, and that's what they're doing.
So with all the back and forth, and William Prentice on the line with us here, William Prentice, CEO of Meridian Energy Group, we're talking about the Davis Refinery, our weekly update on the Davis Refinery project coming to Belfield, North Dakota. We just kind of talking about the timeline on the Department of Health taking a little bit longer than anybody really anticipated, including the Department of Health, who I've had conversations with. And a lot has changed in a year. Are you guys still got the same confidence level that you guys had a year ago going into this? I mean, has anything on your end changed? Because you guys have been pretty confident along this way that it's going to be cleanest refinery on the planet and that sort of thing. So outside of the timelines, which are outside of your control, how about the engineering side and the environmental side? Are you guys still being able to have confidence at the end of the day?
The project has gotten stronger. There are some, obscure things that have happened. I mean, for instance, Bakken oil has a lot less sulfur in it than most crudes do. So your typical sulfur removal processes don't work very well. The process that we had initially decided to use would have taken a long time, was kind of heat intensive, and we've since found out about some new things that have been developed that have, since we started, actually been proven in actual use in industry. So we've been able to migrate to some of these other solutions. I complain all the time about schedule, but when I look at the project today, it's better than it would have been if we'd gotten the permit 4 months after we filed. It's a better deal for everybody, especially us. Also, in running us through this gauntlet, the health department has helped us perfect what in other industries would be considered intellectual property, of knowing how to put together all these disparate areas of technology into something that's very unique and new and clean and much more efficient, which means probably more profitable. So in the last 2 or 3 months, we've had people coming to us wanting to talk about putting a similar plant in their backyard. That's something that's pretty new and exciting that grew up in North Dakota now. So, it's just been a very exciting project to work on. And every week it gets better. So, I can't complain, but I do all the time.
You mentioned there's a public comment meeting coming up, and I didn't, I don't know if you mentioned it, I didn't write it down, and I don't know if it's your responsibility or not. I do know it's the health department's responsibility, but do you have any information on that, where people should go to, either support the project or give their input?
Well, once the draft permit is posted so that people can look at it and think about it, I think then they give people a week or two before they schedule something. It'll probably be in the Dickinson or Medora, one or the other, I would imagine. And they'll announce it in the legal press and on their website. So, the hearing will be announced and it'll be on the Department of Health's website. I imagine that we'll probably also be running around telling everybody about it, because we're going to want to have people get involved and know what we're doing. And once that hearing is set, then, the rest of the schedule for finalizing the permit becomes a little bit more definitive at that point. So that's going to be exciting for us at that point, too.
And, of course, we'll keep people posted at the Crude Life as well to make sure that we can get the public comment information out there as well. Just out at some annual meetings, saw your guys' logo and everything around there. Like to give people an opportunity to talk a little bit about just community stuff that you guys have going on. I know you guys are pretty active in Billings and Stark County specifically. Anything else you guys got going around the area?
Yeah, I can't keep track of it, Jason. I mean, really, you know, we've got several people living up there now, and they're excited to be part of the community. And, you know, probably every two or three days, Adam Williams, who's very active up there, or Tom Johnson, who's going to actually be our operations guy, call with something that they found out about they want to participate in. And, you know, it's a great community, and we're just really excited to be part of things. And it's a lot of fun. We enjoy being there.
Well, I tell you, after talking with Sean Kessel, city administrator from Dickinson, you just got voted in as the president of the Western Dakota Energy Association. And also Steve Holden, superintendent of schools in Watford City, their message was the same, which is those two cities are growing still very fast. And of course, I always think of the Davis Refinery because that is going to just be such a great asset to that community. And it's going to add so many terrific jobs. And what Steve Holden and I were talking about in Watford City was the school. They actually had to get bumped up to Division One, Class B to Class A, we call it in North Dakota, which is incredible. I mean, they were, you know, less than 5,000 people in that town, and now they're competing against the largest cities in the state. Dickinson, of course, was already Class A, and they're growing. Sean Kessel's talking about record bursts and everything else along those lines. And what we talked about was the pillars of progress, where when you get state and when you get industry and when you get a community on board with a project, you can see things just happen unbelievably. And we believe that's going to happen out there with yours because, like I said, what I'm hearing is that the community really is excited for this. What they want to know is, when are we going to start building this thing and when are we going to start having jobs? Because our towns are already going, and of course the state is saying the same thing, and the industry is. So if people want to support you guys, or if they want to understand more what's going on, do you got anybody that they can contact out there?
Well, you know, I guess all the usual suspects, you know, the Department of Health is going to have this comment period, so obviously we'd like to have people express their support. You know, the county, Billings County, Stark County, both of the sets of commissioners probably need to hear from people if they're in favor of the project, which I, you know, a lot of people are. I know the commissions are. You know, what we do there in terms of tax base and the earnings of the people that will work there and all the resulting spinoff jobs is going to do a lot for the local communities and, you know, community services and so forth. And I should mention something about that because I was criticized the other day by somebody in the financial community for not doing what a lot of companies do when they go into an area and get, you know, a deal on tax breaks and that sort of thing. And, you know, we've not done that, and we're not going to do that. We're going to pay our taxes and be a, an upstanding member of this community in all respects. And when you see what it would do, given the taxes we're going to pay to the budgets of Billings County, for instance, I think a lot of people will take a look at that and realize there's a lot of benefit to come from this refinery. Our job is to make sure that the negative impacts of a plant that most people would expect, like air quality, are going to be managed and are going to be something that they can be proud of. So we're focused on that right now. But the rest of it, you know, we're planning on starting construction this coming year. Obviously, people are going to be out there working. We're going to be going full bore on hiring the people that are going to work at the refinery. And again, you know, according to some of the studies like Washington State did of the Anacortes refineries, there's a 12-to-1 multiplier. So, you know, for every 100 people that we're hiring at the plant, that's over 1,000 people that will have jobs in that area. And that's just, you know, the basis for a lot of prosperity. and I'm very happy that we're going to be bringing that to the area.
William Prentice, CEO, Meridian Energy Group, bringing the Davis Refinery to Belfield, North Dakota, out in western North Dakota. And just wrapping up an interview here, just kind of some final thoughts a little bit. By the way, I was a little bit taken back by, I'm hearing that more and more the financial organizations are basically saying, you know, if you don't get tax breaks, the business models just don't jive, and they kind of scold you a little bit and that sort of thing. And it kind of sent me back to where there used to be a little bit of pride about paying taxes to a local community. Am I going to get lambasted for saying that, or what?
I don't know. I might get in trouble too, but the fact is, a lot of companies, when they look at going into various locations, they kind of set up a competition as to who's going to make it more attractive for them from a tax point of view or whatever. And, that's just not what we're doing, and that's not what we're all about. So I hope I didn't step on anybody's toes. Adam's probably going to get mad at me for saying anything about it at all, but it was kind of fresh. It was kind of fresh in my mind because I'd been criticized for not doing it, so I thought I'd bring it up. But it's very common in business these days to go do that, and we're just not going to do that.
Well, and the only reason I bring it up, and it's totally off what we've ever talked about. We usually don't get into the politics of things and that sort of thing when you're talking tax breaks. But I used to, I was just in a meeting yesterday where that was brought up. So when you said that, I thought, man, that's actually a pretty good story now. If so many people are advising that don't go into a community or don't invest in a community unless they give you tax breaks, boy, I think there's almost a story here now. If a business goes into a community and says, "We'll pay your local taxes," I mean, I'm sorry, I thought it was, when I heard you say that, I went, "Wow, have we really flipped the switch on everybody all of a sudden?"
It's just funny how, if we're going to go there and hire all these people, and there are going to be so many other employees spawned by the refinery. And if we're not paying taxes, who's going to build the schools for those people's kids to go to? How is that all going to happen? I can't figure out how it's supposed to work. And again, I'm an engineer, not a financial wizard or a public policy expert. So maybe it's natural that I don't get it. But anyway, while I'm CEO, we're not going to be doing those sorts of things.
Well, I love it. I mean, in fact, I was talking with several people about the old Guinness, the beer. And if you take a look at their old thing, when I think it was Ireland where they're from, when they're in recession, they pretty much completely rebuilt the downtown because they understood that all those people in the community were the one reason that they had made so much money. And it was like a paper in capitalism, I guess. And so what happened, the capitalists, a good capitalist understand that it's the community and his customers are the reason he got wealthy. And so when the economy dips, the capitalists give back and vice versa and this and that. And it really wasn't until I started working in the oil and gas industry when I saw that. And where I really saw that just as the actual root of the entire industry, to where there's so much opportunity that inventors can have, and there's so much opportunity that engineers can have, and upstream and downstream and so many different capitalistic things. And to hear you say that you're going into a community and you guys are going to pay the taxes, it was just refreshing for me. So sorry to go off script a little bit there.
No, that's fine. And I agree, oil and gas industry is capitalism, in as pure a form as you can find in the world anymore these days. And a lot of people don't like that, don't approve of it. I love it. It's the birth of innovation. This industry has changed so much for the better over the last 10 years. And it's because of the free market system and the way it influences the way people make decisions and seek innovative solutions, and I'm proud to be part of it.
And with those quotes, I'm going to give you final word, but before I give you final thoughts, I do want to mention that the oil and gas industry is the only industry in the United States that has created jobs in the last 10 years. All the dot-coms, all the Shark Tank startups, All the manufacturing that has been done in the United States has not created jobs, a net gain over the last 10 years, whereas oil and gas, the true capitalists of the economy, have been the only ones that have created a net gain of jobs. So with that being said, I'd like to give Mr. William Prentice, CEO of Meridian Energy Group and the Davis Refinery, just kind of some final thoughts, final words, just anything that you might want to leave the listening audience with?
Well, I think, you know, along those lines, oil and gas is going to be an engine of growth in North Dakota for quite some time. You know, the governor has expressed an interest in seeing production head from 1 million barrels a day up closer to 2 million barrels a day, and that's going to be a tremendous driver. The governor has also expressed an interest in seeing commodity value add kinds of activities in the state, both in agriculture and energy, and that's exactly what we're doing. And we're not going to be the only ones doing this sort of thing. You know, there's a lot of processing that can be done a lot closer to the source of the oil and gas, and that's where it should be. And that's where the jobs are. Also, as you point out, the industry does create jobs. You know, the focus of innovation and technology in the business is not on reducing labor costs. It's on overall productivity of that labor. And that's why you see that growth. So, it's going to be a very active, prosperous time for North Dakota over the next 10 years. And I'm, again, very excited to be part of it.
And that was William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, spearheading the Davis Refinery, the first greenfield refinery in 50 years in the United States, the cleanest refinery it will be on record the moment they flick the light switch on for the first time. If you want to check out this podcast or other podcasts, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Crude Life newsletter. We're also on social media. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, those links are available at The Crude Life as well. Once again, we'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting the Crude Life Media Network. And if I could ask you folks to please visit our sponsors page and take a look at, see if there's any sponsors you know, maybe reach out, say hello, or maybe you might want to do a little piece of business with them. We'd appreciate that very much because they keep interviews like this free. Shouldn't smoke like a sail. I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna be me. It seems everywhere I go these days, someone is telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what professional speaker Mark J. Lindquist has to say.
He is a person in this market and now in markets across the country with Hatch Coaching that is revolutionizing the way people approach the business. He's reinventing the way people look at the people model. That's why he brings in hundreds of people from all over the country who are trying to figure out how to do what he's doing in their market.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
And that's it for this episode of the Crude Life Podcast. My name is Jason Spies. Till next time, be happy and remember, sometimes life can just be crude. We'll see you next time. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.